y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Something is a brewing. It's Hot 101.5. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
Sorry, I thought you were still saying it. I forgot.
No.
And I was also looking at Twitter.
Right before we got on, Scott was like, ooh, something is a brewing. I was like, oh, what? We got lunch coming or something? What's a brewing, Scott?
Man, I gotta go to the bathroom. Just, you ever get like, it just knocks? It's like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well.
Well, that's where do you think I was before we did this?
Well.
This is our uncensored podcast. This is where we talk about any and everything. You can get this in several different places. Hot1015TampaBay.com on the Hot1015 app. Or if you have an iPhone, just on a little podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
Yes.
So before we get to anything, and I should have had this pulled up. Dang it! We have an M&H fan member who's been trying to email us.
Oh my gosh, yes. For like the last 3 weeks. It may have even been since before the holidays.
I think it was.
Wow.
Somebody tap dance real quick while okay. I pull up the email.
So anyway, it's Gasparilla weekend.
Got it.
I know we may talk about that, but okay.
Yeah, we will. All right, here we go. This is from Christopher. Hi, my name is Chris. Let's bleep that out because I don't know if he wants his last name said. Let me mark the time down.
Okay, I was going to say.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm 22. I'm a longtime fan of the show. I've met you and Holly twice in the past. Anyway, I work a job that I really cannot stand anymore, and I feel like I'm failing as a young adult in today's society.
Oh.
I'm in no place to change jobs at this time and also have no college education to help do so. I live with my girlfriend in an apartment. We pay all of our bills on time, and there's food on the table, but I feel like I'm going nowhere. Mm. Do you have any ideas or inspiring words that might be able to help? I'm kind of lost in the wind at the moment, and could really use a sail. Thank you.
I love these kind of questions.
All right. So this is Christopher, and he actually sent this. Oh, wow. I'm a crappy human being. He originally sent this November 6th, and then he followed it up. In December, and then, I'm sorry, Chris.
Miguel.
I know, I'm
he
horrible.
Probably has a new job by now.
Hopefully he does. I think if you're hating your job, you know, whatever, I think, for me, this is going to be a little bit of my younger mind and where I'm at, but I pay a
Please.
Lot of attention to people that are very big in just success, I guess, and one of them is, like, Steve Harvey, and a big-time, like, message that he always puts out there is the message of jumping, where it's like, you know, it doesn't look like you could make that leap. But in order to get to that next step in your life, you have to jump. And so for me, if I was in a job right now, let's just say hypothetically, I just hated it here. And I was like, you know what? I'm not getting to where I want to be. People aren't believing me. I would find a way to go put myself in a better situation, no matter what that is at the time, because I'm not trying to look at my watch and watch those little seconds tick as my life is just wasting away. So let me put myself in a better position, even if it's a step down. And so for me, if I was in a job where right now I'm like the producer of the show, if I was to go back and be like, all right, you're going back to the promo team at another station, if that meant I was going to be happier and possibly more successful in the long run, that would be the jump for me that I'd have to make. And it would be a hit, and it's uncertain of what would happen in the future. But I'm not going to sit where I'm miserable and waste time not knowing what that next step could be, because anything could happen, but you just got to have the bravery to just jump and take the risk and see what could happen.
But how do you do that when you need to pay bills, you need to live, you need to eat and have a roof over your head and put gas in your car? How do you do that if you're going to take that many steps back,
Well, there's plenty of things that you could kind of do just to get yourself at least dinner on the table, you know, whether you have to Uber for a little bit, and that's all day. I'm not saying you're going to be, you know, a couple hours here. You're going to have to grind your ass off, but you also have to ask yourself, what are you passionate about? What do you want to do? Because for me, I'm 23, and I look at myself, I just write down literally everything that I could possibly ever want to do in life and put it out there, see what I want to do, but I also want to be focused on my passions. I have a lot of friends now that just jumped into jobs because they're getting big paychecks, and that's awesome. And I talk to a lot of friends about this, and it's like right now they look like they're making it because they're making big money, they have this big job, but they're not really passionate about their job. And I think I really do have a theory of if you're in a job where you're making a lot of money, but you're not really happy about it, you're going to be working for like the next 50 years of your life do you really want to be miserable even though you're making money? Like, money at the end of the day, like, yes, it will help you down the road. But with that much time in your life taken away, do something that you're actually passionate about. And if this job is not what you're passionate about, you are young enough and you have too much to go out and do, take the risk and find something that you're passionate about and try a bunch of things. That's what I did, and that's how I landed in radio, is I just tried a bunch of crap. I went from different routes all over the place until I was like, whole, I literally opened my eyes. I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be in. And it was a lot of other people could make more money, but I took a leap backwards and I was like, all right, this is what I want to do. I'm not making a lot right now, but I have the determination that one day it's going to pay off, and you have to keep that belief, even if it's not right in the immediate future. It will happen, but you have to believe it will happen and work for it to happen.
Get it.
I think on the down low, you should be a motivational speaker.
That is one of my goal. One of my truest goals is, like, I hope one day I could get hired for this, because I do have a passion. That, for me, it's like I want to make it to be able to talk about it, because as, like, for us, I guess, just, you know, we have time to talk about it on the podcast. This job is, you know, it's so uncertain on what's the next step. And I wrote about this on my Facebook page the other day, because my parents question me all the time of, like, when you're getting full time, what's the next move? And I'm like, I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to wake up every day, 3 a.m., bust my ass every day, and hopefully somebody notices, it makes a connection, I make a move, and next thing you know, I'm climbing the ladder. But the moment I give up on this passion, this dream, I don't want to look back when I'm 80 and be like, ah, you know what? What if I would have stuck it out for a little longer and took a little bit of a pay, you know, cut, but down the road I'm making more than I would have in a job that I was just kind of going through the motions with. So that's what I was. If I was 22, and I was, like a year ago, you know, and you're doing a job like – and maybe a lot of people have done this, try something else. Right. And maybe it's a pay cut, and maybe it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but there's so many ways now where you can make a little bit of side cash. I do it from selling stuff on Facebook to Ubering on the side if I have to. Do that for a little bit, but don't live miserably. And maybe do it for a little bit longer, but keep your eyes open on other positions out there. And if it's a little bit of a pay cut, take the risk. Do it, because it might be the thing that fuels your passion to find what you want to do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever received when I was in college was from this radio guy named Tony Kidd, who coincidentally and very serendipitously ended up being a VP in the company that we work for now, Cox Media. He no longer works with our company. But when I was in college at Georgia Southern, he was on the board of trustees for our college radio station, and he came down from Atlanta, and then I was like, hey, can I come visit you when I'm in Atlanta at the radio stations up there when I'm home on Christmas break? He said yes. I reached out, and he gave me a tour of what's now our parent company's home base in Atlanta for Cox Media Group, and we sat down in his office, and I was just like, how do I get to be here? What do I do now? And I don't remember anything he said except for start working in radio now. And I believe I was a junior in college when that happened. And so that really impressed upon me when I got back to school and I got my internship. And throughout my senior year, I worked at 97.3 KISS FM in Savannah. And I was on the promo team at first and then got to be on air. And I've given this advice to a lot of different people throughout the years. And I've seen with success how that was such a great piece of advice. And so for someone like you, Christopher, who feels like at 22, you feel like an adult and you feel like this is it. I'm on this path and there's nothing else I can do. That is the time to take chances, because you have an apartment, you're able to drive, and that's okay. That's the time to suffer. That's the time to, let's say you want to be a TV host, because, you know, this is, we deal with media. Get a part-time job sweeping the floors at a Home Shopping Network or at Fox 13 or WTSP. Whatever it is you want to do, just find whatever part-time position you can get. And then if it's 1 or 2 days a week, do that while you're working the job during the week.
Yeah,
that puts food on the table. Anything you can do to start that passion, put your foot in there and slowly work your way up. And if you do that now when you're 22 and you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to be making $8 an hour sweeping the floors at Home Shopping Network. By the time you're 30, you could be an on-air host making $500,000 a year. You never know.
I'm saying.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah. And I want to point one other thing out. And you noted specifically in the email, you said, you know, you, I don't remember, what did you say about didn't have college?
Yes, I'm in no place to change jobs at this time and also have no college education to help do so.
Okay, well, go do it.
Right.
Go do college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get scholarships and grants and
go
loans.
Slowly.
You go slow. You take online courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what your passion is, and yeah. I don't know what your current job is. So maybe the first thing you need to do is really sit down and figure out what you're passionate about.
Yes.
And that, it really does take some introspection, because you have to figure out, not just like everybody, like I love TV too, but guess what? TV's not your passion. That's what you do to pass the time. But like, what lights your fire? What do you do in your free time that, you know, you're not getting paid to do, but you love to do it so much, you just do it in your free time? Maybe it's a sport you play. Maybe it's, you know, researching random shit on the internet. I don't know what it is. But figure out what it is you're passionate about. And then if something, whatever it happens to be, correlates with getting a college degree, start.
Right.
So, like, a ton of people are working full-time jobs and also taking college courses.
Uh-huh.
Mm. You can do it at one of the schools that we have here in the Tampa Bay area. You can do it online at one of the many, many online colleges, and you can apply for help for financial aid for that. So there's one route. Get the college degree that you need to go after the job you want and start doing it now. And by the way, you're way too young to be afraid to do all these things. Way too young, okay? When my mom said at like age, I think she was maybe 60, and my wedding was coming up. And I know this, just bear with me, so it's going to come around. But my wedding was coming up, and my mom has always really hated her teeth. She had like a giant gap in the front. They kind of stuck out a little bit. Her bottom teeth, like nothing closed right. She would always do closed mouth smiles because she was so uncomfortable mm-hmm. with how she looked. And I was like, well, why don't you fix it? And she was like, I'm 60. What? I'm not going to get braces. I'm 60. I'm like, okay. So for the next, let's say you live till 90. For the next 30 years, you're still going to hate it? I'm like, she's like, I just want to look good for your wedding. I'm like, go get some damn braces. This bitch got Invisalign at age 60, and Boom. She's got a great smile. Boom. And I'm like, okay, she's 60, and I had to push her because she thought she was too old.
Mm.
I don't know what you're doing at 22. You are a child. Not in the, like, I know you're a grown-up in the sense of, like, you're a legal adult uh-huh. and everything, but, like, you're so new at adult life. It's all in front of you. And like Miguel said, I know you feel like you're, you know, just fully in it. And like you got your 9 to 5 and your woman and you're cooking mm-hmm. dinner at home and you're playing house.
Tick a tick, 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 tick a tick, tick, nope. tick, 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 working 9 to 5.
Thank you, Miguel.
You're welcome.
No, but like you have so much time in front of you to do all this stuff now. There's no way that you should be settling for a job you hate at 22.
No.
So take the time. I mean, you got the rest of your entire 20s to figure out what you want to do. Hell, you've even got the rest of your 30s to figure out what you want to do.
I was having a conversation with a friend from a long time ago. He was actually my very first intern way back in Savannah, Jonathan. Mm. Remember Jonathan Holly?
Yes, I haven't heard from him in a hot second.
Yes, it's been about 2 years. I'm just so impressed by him. He's so smart. He worked in radio. He lives in L.A. now, working for a consulting firm. And he's just a deep thinker who's also very, very analytical.
Yes.
He's got like a little bit of right brain and left brain going on. And so it's really fascinating to listen to him analyze situations. But one of the things that we were talking about is his sister just went through a really bad breakup, and she's 23, and she'd mm-hmm. been with this guy for 4 years, and they were sort of expecting, you know, after 4 years, we have a certain path for life. We're going to get married,
oh, yeah.
have kids,
the
get
path.
The jobs, and, you know, exactly, and do all that thing. Sure. But he didn't tell me why they broke up, but they're broken up. And then she's just sort of like, when you feel for 4 years, when you're that young, that your life's going to be this way, then all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from underneath you and you're like, wait a minute, what is my life? And I was like, this sounds harsh, but this is probably the best thing that could have ever happened for her.
100%.
Like, I can't wait to see what I say when I'm 45, but I could not imagine what my life would have been like at the age of 22, 23. I had no clue. None. fun.
No.
And I thought that every decision I made was life or death. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't make the right decision, I would end up living under a bridge.
Yeah.
Like, that's how deeply I felt like I needed to make every right decision. But there were wrong decisions, but they weren't.
No.
That's the great thing. Those decisions that I thought ended up being bad decisions led me to where I am now.
And they give you the knowledge and the wisdom that old people have that you're like, why do you think you know so much?
Right.
Because they made the wrong decisions already.
Absolutely.
And then they got back on the right path. Have you ever seen that like meme where it talks about how like Steve Jobs or whoever it was that it was like Steve Jobs, but he got fired like 5 times before he was 40 and was like penniless and started some shit in his garage and whatever. And then he became Steve Jobs.
Right.
Like, we all mess up and we're all going to go down the wrong path at some point. And we will all, and this is maybe one of my favorite things about life. We all know stuff at certain ages that are our irrevocable truths. Like when I was, how old was I? I want to say I was about 24 and I was solidly against marriage. I knew I never wanted to be married. I was just against it. I thought it was stupid. I thought the only reason you get married is to put on a little show so that you can have a child. And really, that seems to be the only thing. But even you could do that with a sperm donor. I was like, ain't nobody need to get married. And then I got married when I was 28.
Yeah.
And then when I was about 30, I was like, I had gone through the wedding and I saw what the wedding was. And I was like, I will never do that shit again.
Girl.
Because weddings are the biggest pain in the ass to plan. And it's supposed to be fun, but it's not fucking fun. I don't know who told you it's fun. It's not. It's not fun. Maybe it's fun for the guys, but it's not fun for whoever's planning it. Like, if the woman's planning it, it is hell. So anyway, so then I was like, oh, I'm never getting divorced because I'm never getting married again. I'm never doing this again. And then I got divorced.
Must say, how's that never treating you?
Well, these are things that I knew.
Right.
These were my beliefs that I stood for. I am never getting divorced. Mm-hmm. I chose my person. I'm not getting married to get divorced. This is it. I'm sure of it. Until I wasn't.
Yep.
And then I got divorced, and then I was like, okay, well, even if I do get into another relationship, I am never getting married again because look what happened the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met someone, you know, a while later that I was like, I mean,
I could plan another wedding.
I was like, well, we won't do a big thing.
Yeah.
But then what if he wants to do a big thing?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll figure out how to do. What I'm telling you is that all through your life, you're going to come upon these things that you just know and you just believe. And this is who you are. And it's never going to change until it does.
Yeah.
So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some breathing room to grow. Where you are right this minute is not where you're going to be in 5 years. Is certainly not where you're going to be in 15 years. It's impossible to say what your life is going to plot out like. And can you imagine if it was, how boring that would be?
Oh, my God.
That would be, I can't think of anything
if
more
boring.
If you could
look at a book and be like, well, I know that on the third day after I turn 45, I'm going to have my appendix out.
Well, we always have my birthday at Chili's, so we're going to be gathering at Chili's when I'm 57. God, I hope not.
We always do it missionary style. That's it. Nothing else.
Just take the word never out of your vocabulary,
because
you will have a whole different set of beliefs 10 years from now.
Boom. Need anything else, Christopher?
I don't know why I feel like we came down hard on him.
No,
it's not hard. I get such, like, we're talking about passions. Like, that was my passion. Like, right there, I'm like, you just feel energized. Find that thing that just makes your blood just, like, boil through your skin in such a good way. Like, I had to stand up because I'm like, this just gets me on fire.
I'm
like,
so
these
excited.
Conversations, like, oh, love it. Find that thing. Yeah. Find what makes you stand up, mm-hmm. Woo, even when your legs are tired.
I mean, there's going to be stuff in life that is shitty for you. Always.
Absolutely.
This is not saying that life like is all sunshine and roses and everything. We all go through some pretty terrible shit.
Oh, yeah.
But you are the only person that's going to make it good in the long run.
So true.
Just go do it and don't say never, because I've said a lot of nevers
See
in my
what
life.
Happens.
And they always been wrong.
Wow. There you go, Christopher. Well, hopefully that helped. If you ever need some advice that we can do on the podcast, you can always email me, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Actually, email Holly.
Yeah, please email
me. Email Holly.
I was
going
to say, we'll get to it in 2 months.
Yeah, don't email me. Don't email me.
Obviously,
Holly.
Yeah.
Holly@hot1015tampabay.com.
Or you can always email Scott.
I don't have a cool email.
What's your email?
What, my company email?
You don't have a Scott@hot1015?
No.
All right, we got to talk to the engineers.
Oh, we need a Scott. Yeah. We need a Scott at Hot 101.5.
Should it be wait, Scotty?
Yeah, I'm going to say, well, should it be Scott? No,
no,
because then they'll be like,
S-C-O-T-T-Y,
S-C-T-T-O-I-E, like.
Well, is this going to be Scott?
Yeah.
It'll be Scott, yeah.
Nobody even calls me that here. I know that's my name, but, like, that's, like, foreign in, like, this building.
But nobody will know how to spell Scotty.
No, they're going to do a Y, or then they'll do an I-E.
Like, how do you spell Scotty, Scott?
With a Y at the end.
Okay, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make it Scotty at Hot1015TampaBay.com, but both spellings will go to the same email.
Oh,
so it doesn't
gotcha.
Matter how you spell it.
Oh, how do you do that? Isn't that two different emails?
No, it's technology.
Technology.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So S-C-O-T-T-Y. Or S-C-O-T-T-I-E will both go to your inbox.
People are going to try to do that now. Hopefully we get it done before people hear this. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
just
be
wait.
It.
Low,
just
girl, our on. Company, we're going through a transition. No. Like, fucking wait. Like, it's going to be probably in 2021.
If we had to ask the engineers to do it any time in the next month, they will give us that whole song and dance about how you don't know what we do, blah, blah.
Our company, because our company, our parent company, Cox Media Group, was a part of Cox Enterprises, and then it was just bought by this big conglomerate who wants to build a media company, and we are the base of it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Unless they fire us, so
yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
You know, radio.
Exactly.
Big old crapshoot.
I know. Well, speaking of passions, and I have been so sort of melancholy and stuck on what to say, if I want to say anything, about what happened in our industry.
Mm.
And, you know, in this podcast, hopefully some stuff you like, sometimes you don't. And this is going to be, like, super inside. But it's a little peek into the radio entertainment industry. But we have several big companies in our industry that have gone public, taken on investors, taken on a bunch of debt by buying a bunch of radio stations. And when you have investors, you got to pay the returns.
Yeah,
you
it's about
pay
that
money.
Bottom line.
Exactly. And so there are companies that got billions of dollars in debt that they can't pay. And so how do you make money quickly? By letting people go.
Mm-hmm.
And our industry probably had the biggest mass firings last week.
Yep.
In our industry. And we know a couple of people that were affected by it. And it was actually traumatic. Like, I felt so weird last week, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And not to be super dramatic, but it felt like, because to me, like, I always hear in radio, like, you should find a passion outside of it. Like, radio should not define you.
Mm.
And I totally get that, because this is a job. But to me, like, when I say the word radio, it's not just I walk into a radio station, I talk on the microphone, there's a tower. There are so many ways, obviously, that you consume audio. But to me, when I say radio, that means I'm connecting with you through the audio medium.
Yeah.
Which that could be in your radio, on your car, through your Alexa, through the app, through the podcast, whenever you want, on demand. So to me, I felt like it was this violation of people who study and hone their craft for the audio medium, for the connection, and almost like a, well, you don't matter.
Oh, it was. Because what they said with the press release, the main company that did this,
mm-hmm.
was that, yeah, we see that we have talent here, but don't worry. We're going to make it better with artificial intelligence.
Right.
Okay, for radio, for me, is a human connection.
Right.
It's different than when you watch someone like your morning news station on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They are presenting information to you.
Right.
we are talking with you in the local community, hopefully being a sounding board for you, giving you necessary information in times of crisis or emergency, helping out with local charities, and literally living in and being part of this community. And we get the privilege of being the mouthpiece for that. And we can share opinions, we can argue, we can agree, we can go through it. It's like a relationship. And so when you cut off the people that make the relationship possible, I don't know what it is anymore.
Right.
What is radio?
Spotify.
Okay, so Pandora. So they're turning radio into Spotify.
Right.
That's cool if you're just looking for music, but guess what? They already have music on Spotify.
Right.
I don't know what to expect from this new, you know, wave of the future with these centers of excellence. Mm-hmm. And sounds like the book 1984 by George Orwell. I don't know what it is.
Scary.
It sounds like some dystopian future that I don't like.
No. It really hurt me. It cut me deep. And one of our good friends who we've talked about on this podcast before, Kramer, who we used to work with in Panama City, he was let go from his job. And I don't want to say too much because, you know, he just got let go from this company and there's things that you can and can't say. But my heart went out to him and to all the people, because in this job, you give your everything.
Mm-hmm.
You sacrifice everything. And I think that's what really, you know what, that's what hit me is when I think about Kramer and, you know, all the difficulties that we've gone through throughout, you know, when we worked together back in the day. But I know that he loves this craft because him and I met in college. And
absolutely.
That's how we became good friends, is we both were like the two people that were like, we love radio. And when you give your entire being, when you mold your life around this connection to help people and to do this job, and then for it to just all of a sudden be gone.
Just cut off, like, with no regard.
And on top of that, and this is just not that company, but just a whole radio thing. And by the way, if someone's listening who works for that company, know that, like, we're not ragging on you.
No.
This goes for radio in general.
Yes.
Because there's a lot. I got a laundry list of things that a lot of companies do that I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing as an industry? But to just have it slipped away like that and then not be able to say goodbye to the people that you have built this relationship with, because a lot of times in radio, like if we got fired today, you would turn on Hot 101.5 Monday morning and it would just be music and then the big voice guy saying Hot 101.5. That was it.
Yeah.
You'd go to the app to see where's Miguel and Holly and Scott. We would be erased. You would see nothing on Instagram. You would see nothing on Twitter. Nothing.
And we're made to jump through so many hoops.
Yeah.
Because I feel like someone outside the industry might be saying, well, why do you bend your life around like that? Couple reasons. First, it's almost like you can't do this industry without making it part of your life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then these companies sort of expect it.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not going to hire someone who doesn't. So they're asking us to make this our lives, but then just like that, they take it away.
It's gone.
So it's like, how do you separate yourself from the industry?
Right.
I mean, yes, that's one of the questions that we talk about during our morning show boot camps and, you know, all these different things. But it's like this industry worked because you had people like this who were willing to dedicate their lives for the greater good, for the community, for the people.
Absolutely.
And without it, like I said, I go back to, I don't know what this industry looks like without that.
No, I don't either.
So It's tough times right now because it's not just the one company.
No.
We've had other morning show friends that have been let go from other companies recently. Mm-hmm. And it's like what's really sad and scary. And one of my outside radio friends was like, well, do those people just go apply for other jobs? And I was like, well, yeah, common sense would dictate that you apply for another job. But if all the jobs are being cut, where do you go to apply for one?
What do you do?
There's no more jobs left.
Oh, absolutely.
So now you're facing an uncertain career future. Yeah.
It's really scary. And I felt like after seeing some people that have, because we got here in March of 2015, and I've seen people being let go who've been at their places, because we're coming up on 5 years, who've been at their place for 3 years, 4 years, maybe start around the same time we did. And I feel almost like a sitting duck.
I know.
Like a little bit, like I look around and every day I see another radio friend that's like, well, today was my last show on XYZ station. It's been such a great time. And meanwhile, I'm like, hey, y'all, look at this crazy video we did during headphone karaoke today.
Isn't that the craziest part where you've got people that have been just let go and you're like, well, I still got to promote myself.
Right.
It's odd because we're all friends on social media with each other. And then it's also weird, like, there's like survivor's guilt.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
And it's probably worse for the employees that still work for the companies that just did the mass firings because they're like, why him and not me, or why her and not, you know. And so luckily our company, I mean, knock on wood, hasn't done something like that.
Right.
But that's not to say they couldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're right. We are like sitting ducks because it's like we don't know the direction that everybody wants to go in.
No.
Ugh. Not a good feeling.
Scary times. But.
Rough times.
But here is the.
We're going to keep doing it till the bitter end, just like those musicians on the Titanic.
Exactly. No, but here's the thing is that I think there's always going to be a need for this. And so in 10 years, maybe Miguel and Holly and Scotty the Body won't be on the 101.5 signal. Maybe the FM signal won't be around and you'll get us through how you're listening to us now, because this doesn't go out on the radio. This is consumed through your phone, probably.
And this is it. We would be in charge of this.
Absolutely.
So
in charge of our destiny.
Creators of our own content without, I mean, the payroll isn't there, obviously.
Right.
But it's, then we'd be in charge of all of that. So.
So going all the way back to Christopher from your email earlier.
Boom.
Everybody goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through it now because every time a new friend gets fired, I'm always like, well, bitch, what you gonna do if you get fired? I don't know.
I don't know either.
You might see me in my Volvo getting you ass on Uber. I'll be driving past McDonald's being like, come on in my Uber, girl. I'll take you home.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
So you just never know where it's gonna end up.
No. And I mean, it's so fragile. Because, yes, we have contracts, but the contracts aren't really for us.
No, girl.
So,
no.
It's just like you could say one wrong, especially in the times we're living in now.
Oh, gosh.
Just think of all the firings that happened for no other reason than we're saving money.
Right.
Let's say you accidentally say one thing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hears it, and we're in an age of you have all the power, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide you don't like us one day and you write a strongly worded email to XYZ up the line and they're like, liability, bye.
Bye.
So it's so delicate and fragile, and it's this crazy balance of having to almost be perfect. Guess what? I'm going to let you in a little secret. We're not.
No.
Not even a little bit. There's probably shit about us that you don't know about that you would maybe decide you hate us if you knew about it.
Hmm.
But you don't know about it.
Scott, what would somebody hate about you if they found out?
I know. That's what I was just thinking. I was like, what would people hate about me? Oh, God, there's not much.
That's great.
God, yeah.
Well,
I really don't know.
Actually, I was preparing for this question. I have a list of things about Scott.
I'm sure people can write up a list. I don't know. I don't really have any like skeletons in my closet at the moment. Yikes.
I don't think for me there's no skeletons in my closet, but I think something about my personality that doesn't come through the radio that people might get turned off by is that I am a superly hyperly sexed person. As in not like doing it, but just talking about it.
You're very dirty.
I'm dirty as hell. Like I make any time that I can shove a sexual innuendo into anything.
I'm sure you didn't use the word shove on accident.
Absolutely. Even my word. But here's the thing. It's so a part of me. I don't know how it doesn't come on like off on the radio. Like, literally.
You have a good filter.
I do. I have a radio filter. Like, as soon as we come in the studio and it's, like, time to do the show.
Yeah.
It's, like, it powers down. It's, like, my sex button powers down. And then as soon as we're done, it's, like, doo, 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 doo.
And then you make it all kind of inappropriate comments to the people that work here. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And, like, luckily, we all know you. I feel like they could have said that about Matt Lauer.
Oh! See, but I've never tried to touch anybody. I've never tried to.
No, which is great. That's great.
Oh, my God.
That's great. But, like, what if someone was very sensitive to being talked to like that and you didn't know and you were just being casually you and they didn't really know you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is why I don't do it to new people.
Right. Well, this is why when we used to have interns come in, like, way back in the day.
Oh, my God. Someone's going to stop listening because of this.
Yep. No, they're not. I had to always take them aside, like, the first day. And it wasn't just you. It was Steven, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and he was at times worse than you.
Oh, absolutely.
So between the two of you, I would have to, like, pull the interns aside and be like, hey, I know that we're all, like, laughing and joking right now, but if Kramer or Miguel says anything that makes you really uncomfortable, would you just come to me first? Because I can work through that. And it was, like, the legit talk that we had to have with the interns. Oh,
I feel so awkward now. Like, that sounds so horrible.
That sounds really bad.
After going through the Me Too movement and, like, watching the morning show.
And that was before the Me Too movement.
This was, like, back in 08, 09. Like, have I ever said anything that made you feel uncomfortable, Scott?
No, because I have, like, I'm very lighthearted when it comes to that. Like, you're not going to really make me uncomfortable unless you touch me, like, just in general.
Have I ever touched you?
No. Gosh, then we would be on weird terms.
Do you feel awkward because, like, I'm not your boss, but I'm, like, the project manager, so I am a person in authority. Do you feel, like, should I leave the room and you talk to Holly?
No, I think, like, because I have a similar personality like that, where it's, like, I'm very easy to just joke around and, like, I find that stuff funny, and I'm very lighthearted, and we have also a very good relationship where it's, like,
Scott wouldn't still be here if
I wouldn't be, yeah. What am I?
And you live in my house.
And I even moved in. That's how much I even, like, don't care.
Have you ever felt uncomfortable in the house before? At Chateau Oprah?
No, I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. Because I would be pretty, I'd be open about it. Especially because we had that conversation. Like, if anything ever, like, you feel uncomfortable at anything, like, bring it up.
And I told you to tell me that, yeah. Just in case if, you know. Well, because, like, when we have big parties and people bring other people and I don't know everybody all the time.
Yeah.
I just want you, because that's your house, and I want you to feel comfortable in your house.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm fine. If there's anything that ever popped up, I would say something about it. But so far, I've been great. Loved it so far.
It's fine, Miguel.
Okay. Holly, is there something about your personality that people would be surprised to find out that would make them not listen to us?
I'm sure. I don't know. I'm weird. I don't know. I have strong opinions on stuff, and then, like, I'll sometimes say them really boldly, even if I'm not, like, that bold about it. And then I will probably get some heat from someone who's like, you were wrong. And I'll be like, who gives a fuck? But, like, I know that people get mad sometimes because I do take strong opinions and stances on things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there is.
Hmm.
I feel like for me, like, I could be an a-hole, but, like, nobody sees that side. Like, the only people that see this side is, like, my best friend and probably my girlfriend, Mary. Because, like, there's been times where we've gotten in fights and I'm just an ass. Where it's, like...
Really?
I could just say things that are just mean. And, like, I know that...
What? Like, why? I'm fascinated.
It's not a great, like, little bit of... I've done very well of, like, cutting that down and being smart about what I say and thinking through before I talk.
Do you ever feel that, like, the urge to say something, like, while you're at work or, like, recently?
No, it's because
you hear that? No!
Well, no, I don't think so. Because, I mean, I think it's, you know, there's common factors that are a little frustrating here and there. Just with, yeah, in any job, you're going to have little things that are, like, either somebody doesn't understand you right or they talk down to you or anything like that. But nothing to the point where I'm like, you know what, like, a-hole Scott's coming out. Like, you probably will never see it because you have to be behind many walls to see that side, because I don't like that side.
How many walls are Holly and I behind now with you?
You're in pretty deep now. Like, you're getting further and further in, where it's like I'm able to, like, even, like, let out my frustrations here and there,
mm-hmm.
say a couple things. Like, we've had those talks where it's like there's something frustrating and I'm like, what the actual F?
Yeah. Mm.
Those little moments. But there's also a scale. Like, I would never take it out on y'all or anything like that. Because
feel free. I love to see those moments.
No, because I don't like it. I don't like that side. Like, I really don't. Like, I get uncomfortable when I'm upset. I get uncomfortable when I'm mad. I'm like, I do whatever I can to really, you know, hone in on, like, that positive side of my personality because I like that. I like that. And some people are like, oh, you don't have to be happy all the time. I don't choose to. Like, I like being this way. I like being that positive factor. Because that's how I get through my day. I don't like to dwell on the bad, negative stuff.
You ever think that some of that repressed anger is ever going to come out eventually and just pop out?
I think it comes out sometimes if I drink. And that's why also, oh, God, we're about to go down a little tunnel. Oh. Sometimes that's why I don't like to, like, if there's, you know, something on my mind or anything, I don't want to go get drunk or something. Because there's been moments where.
The drunkenness takes away the filter.
Absolutely. Like, if my girlfriend and I are like, let's say there's something up. And this may be in the past. I don't know when the last time is. And we start drinking and we haven't resolved it. And, like, oh, God. Then I'm like, eventually, I'm like, cool, cool, cool. And then we get talking alone, and I'm like, boom. All of a sudden, everything comes out. I'm like, ah. I wake up the next day like, you asshole. Like, what are you doing? Why'd you say that? You didn't mean it. But that's kind of like, I guess that's that repressed stuff where it kind of just
digs down. Because you're not examining it.
Yeah, I'm not able to actually, like, think through it. But, no, I mean, again, I'm pretty good now about what am I upset about? Is it worth it? No, yes. Okay, keep moving.
I want to see it.
No, you don't.
I want to see it.
I'm trying to think of why y'all would see it, and I don't think there's a reason. Unless I was, like, fired. Let's say, like, tomorrow I was, like, fired, and I was like, I would have no idea why I was fired, and that would be the frustration. I'd be like, what the? I've given as much as I could possibly give, and I'm fired? Like, what? That would be the frustration. But at the same time, I also know the positive side of where I'm like, you know what? All right, this train's got to keep moving somewhere. Choo-choo. On to the next.
I will tell you, as a person who is a formally super positive person all the time, because Holly, when you met me,
oh my gosh, sometimes it's night and day between Miguel then and Miguel now. Miguel then was like the most upbeat, can't bring him down, very similar to you. And then now he's just a ball of cantankerous grumpiness.
Yeah, girl, F everybody, okay? That's my mantra. No, here's the thing is that I've harnessed my positivity in other ways, but I had to learn that I, sort of like when I was in the closet, those secrets would start to physically take form on my body. And when I used to be, because I remember when I read The Secret, when I was right out of college, and I was like, okay, the law of attraction, I got to be positive all the time. And so I would turn all my negative thoughts into positive thoughts, and it just became second nature. But then I would beat down those thoughts, and then they wouldn't have anywhere to, like, sort of open up.
You can't just push it down.
No.
That's what I told my mom recently. I was like, you have a very finite space in your body to push stuff away into. Because her big thing is always like, well, I'm just not going to think about it. Okay,
it's
cool,
gonna be
bitch.
There somewhere.
Where are you going to put it? You're going to put it in your little not going to look at it sack. Right. Bitch is 71 years old. The sack is full and things are leaking out.
It is. It's overflowing. Like the bottom is busted out.
Yeah, and it's all over the place and it's not pretty.
No.
So
and that's how I felt.
That's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to address that stuff. So anyway, and it's not just like personality things, by the way. I'm sure there's stuff that we do in our personal lives that if listeners or fam members found out that maybe feel a certain way about one thing or another, like alcohol consumption or we talk about alcohol, but like
I watch a lot of porn.
Drug consumption.
It's true. I watch way too much adult material.
They would probably be like,
yeah.
Ooh, I was on board with you until I found out that you
did that.
Do this.
Yeah. We're human.
But that's the thing.
I watch a lot.
Oh, okay.
That's why I look over
it's a lot.
You're emphasizing that a lot. I mean, that's fine.
That's one of my, it's not a secret because I talk about it. Yeah. And like, it's a lot.
Well, I'm glad we shared that with the
group.
But
it never gets in the way of my life. I sometimes am like, am I like one of those people where like I would choose going out or being around people in order just to sit down and watch adult material? And I'm like, maybe. Girl, sometimes.
How much adult material can you really watch?
You know, the internet is a wonderful place, Holly.
That's how we're ending this?
No. I'm going to end it with a couple of reviews that you and the M&H fail.
They're not going to want to leave those reviews after they heard that you're addicted to porn.
I'm not addicted. I'm just a fan.
Miguel,
he's a fan of the art.
You're an addictive personality, okay? Don't tell me.
I do. Oh, God. I know what I'm gonna do when I get home today. So this
I'm not going home.
This is oh yeah.
Yikes.
God, we're going home to the same place.
Nope, I'm going to get a haircut and then over to Tampa and then not going to be home for a while.
Don't worry, Holly. You and I lived together for 5 years, honey, so you got some of it too.
I don't want some of any of that. No, sir. Gross.
Oh, dear. All right. So thank you so much for listening to, if anyone has made it to the end of this podcast. But you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored, obviously, on the Hot app, on the Hot website. And if you have an iPhone on iTunes, just type in on the podcast app Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Here's some of the reviews that you all have left. This is from RenéeNYC79. I love your podcast. You keep it real, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've laughed, cried, smiled, and shook my head. LOL over the years, living vicariously through your experiences on the podcast. Thank you for sharing yourselves with our community. How awesome it is you all get to make a living doing what you enjoy. I wish your morning show had more of you and less music, but that's the nature of the business. Even my 11-year-old daughter loves Uncle Miguel, Auntie Holly, and Sky to the Body on your morning show. Hey. You three and Ryan were kind enough to welcome her to your studio last spring break.
Oh, cool.
She loved it. Many blessings and more success to you three in 2020. P.S. Make Scotty full-time. He deserves it.
Damn right. Let's do it, baby. 2020.
If we could, we would, girl.
Please believe. Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
I have one TikTok up, so you can check that out. And then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, and then on TikTok, Scotty the Body, Hot 101.5. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Is it?
It's a little. You said Scotty the Body, Hot 101.5?
Yeah.
That's all right. I mean, if they search Hot 101.5, Scotty the Body, they'll find you.
Find
me. TikTok. Miguel Fuller on everything, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and on TikTok. But I don't have any TikTok videos.
Oh.
Scott, you got to teach me, okay?
I'm still trying to figure it out. That's a whole other beast.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
I just do dumb things. They don't get a lot of views.
I like dumb things, so I'll be perfect on TikTok.
Great. Okay, good.
Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.